I'm Christine Dean here on The Local, and today we are talking with a couple of the organizers of a brand new festival in Duluth that's called Femen Fest, and it's happening all weekend long, and it's happening at Sacred Heart Music Center in downtown Duluth and the Center for American Indian Resources. And the thing that's special about it is that it's an all-female festival. And we have Brittany Lind and Abigail Maliner here to talk about that. Hello.
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 Well, and I love in your description, you say that the people who are running it are women-identified bosses. So, Brittany, will you tell me a little bit about what you're the boss of and what people might know about you?
Outside of the festival?
Yes.
Yeah, I am actually the creator of Ellipsis Duluth, and Ellipsis Minnesota now. It is I call it my social media alter ego. I update daily what's happening in Duluth music, art, other community events, as well as host my own events.
And you've been doing that for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm actually having my four-year anniversary show come November 18th.
Mm-hmm. And now, you also have a job that is related to music in another way, right? Are you still...
I do. I work at the Electric Fetus.
Mm-hmm. So you have the opportunity to interact with a lot of musicians there. And
I love it. Yeah, I run all the in-stores.
Okay. And you've done some promotional work. You've actually done some staging of events yourself, right? Production of events yourself.
Yep. I have done all of the music and stage managing for Duluth Superior Pride for the last 2 years.
So that is, you're definitely qualified as a boss to take on this festival.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Abigail, tell us about you and what you're involved with.
Yeah, I am the founder and facilitator for the Feminist Action Collective, and I also own my own business, freelancing and marketing strategy and event coordination.
And so the Feminist Action Collective is something that came out of the most recent election, presidential election.
Yeah.
And you kind of came out of the gate like a house on fire, it seemed like to me, kind of starting this new organization. And, you know, even after all of those months of working with that organization, now you still are going strong with this. You just, hey, we're going to do a festival. Well, first of all, before we talk about that, will you tell me who the other organizers are? Because you have a great team.
Yeah, our other team members are Melissa, and Melissa is from Homegrown Music Festival. She's the executive director of Homegrown. She was this last year and will be in this next upcoming year as well. And Deanna Johnson is coordinating our workshops. We have an awesome team, and Kat Hansberry is one of our founders, and she's no longer part of the production team, but she's still on the team.
She's performing on Sunday, so she's still there, right there with us.
Yeah, and she's kind of been out and about another away from Duluth for a while, but I'm happy to hear that she's coming back for this.
Yeah.
That's great.
We also have some folks who've just been a part of the auxiliary team in some way, giving us advice, and those people are Rachel Johnson, who's a local musician, and Erin Nutton Garrison.
Mm-hmm. And Emma Diener.
Yeah, Emma Diener.
You guys know Emma Diener.
We sure do. So where did the idea come from to do this festival?
Well, it was a conversation between me and Kat, actually. Back in March or February, we were talking. She actually sent me a Facebook message, and then we ran into each other on the street. And I had recently quit my job in festival production. I'd been working in festival production for 6 years, and I, through my work with Feminist Action Collective, had kind of made a name for myself, I guess, as a feminist in town. And Kat approached me with an idea about having an all-women festival. And so her and I, through conversation, elaborated that even further and made it into the concept that we have now, which is women staff, women performers, women artists, women educators, women-owned businesses who are our vendors. I mean, it's just kind of become like a retreat almost.
Mm-hmm.
And why did you think this was an important thing to do?
Well, I mean, supporting women is kind of core to my identity, and I've been doing it politically and business-wise, I suppose, and we just hadn't tapped into the art world as much. And women artists are not as highlighted in the world in general as male artists, and over the course of modern history, that's been the case. And there's a statistic out that came out last summer from the Huffington Post that 90% of musicians in festivals were men or men-led bands. And that's just confounding to me. Like, the women are 51% of the country. Shouldn't we be 51% of musicians at festivals? So there's a bigger problem here that relates back to the valuing of women, but we really wanted to create a space where we could highlight and emphasize only women, women-identified people's voices, and show their talent and allow the community to connect with these artists in a way that they haven't been allowed to yet, since women aren't booked.
And, you know, what I find interesting about that, as someone who's been in radio for a really long time, and in the 90s, it was Lilith Fair, and oh, now women are getting the attention they deserve. And then Lilith Fair ended, and it's kind of depressing how things have not grown as much as you'd think that they would have. You know, mm-hmm. that was supposed to be, you know, the big revolutionary thing to get more attention for women. And it's kind of, I feel like things have gotten a little better, but there's still, you know, definitely seems like there's a need to showcase women more.
Definitely. That's what we thought.
And you do make a point of saying women identified. So tell me about that.
Yeah, well, women aren't just women. And we wanted to make sure that this was a space for anybody that's not a part of the dominant gender to be featured, because that's really the issue here, is that there is a dominant gender and then everybody else who's not in that space aren't highlighted, aren't recognized nearly to the extent. So this is an event that's for everybody. And we were talking from day one that our ultimate goal would be to have an event where there were half men in attendance, because they wanted to take a part of this event as well. But what we wanted to feature were not men, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, and but again, there are plenty of places where men do get to, you know, be featured. So.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I shouldn't say unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's 100% fortunate.
But I know what you're saying, though. You know, I know what you're saying. It's kind of dichotomy. So when it came to deciding which bands you were going to do, how did you go about that?
Well, there are a lot of female-led bands that I was already really interested in. But then we kind of just did an open call to musicians, and my email got flooded with all these women identified and non-binary people who really wanted to play. And so I listened to them, and there were a lot of people that I really wanted to book that I actually wasn't able to, because we just didn't have the space, especially with the venue change to Sacred Heart, because you can't have loud bands in there. So a lot of people I wanted to play actually didn't get a chance to, but I made a point to try and make it as a diverse collective of musicians as I possibly could based upon who was able to play those dates.
Mm-hmm. We have 25 hours of programming at Femme Fest, mm-hmm. which is kind of insane, but that's made up of musicians and also workshops. And so between four different programming locations, you can experience 25 hours of entertainment.
And really interesting sounding workshops. And about the music, I would just like to say it seems like a really nice mix. You have a lot of local people in there, but then there are people like a band I hadn't heard of, Laska, who's out of Eau Claire, that mm-hmm. are going to be performing on Friday night. And I checked them out for the first time, and I think we're going to be playing them on KUMD.
They're wonderful.
Thanks for introducing me to them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a mix of local and then some people from farther away. So I think that's kind of nice.
Yeah, we wanted to keep this first year as regional as possible, to highlight the folks from town and from the area, from the state, who haven't been able to be featured as much. And I know that Brittany will second this, because a lot of the people who reached out to us were people that we had never heard of, mm-hmm. and they've kind of become some of our new favorite artists. It's actually an awesome opportunity that we have to meet these women and learn who they are, and I mean, it's an opportunity for the community as well, because they're, again, haven't been booked, and so they haven't had a chance to win your hearts yet, but they deserve your heart.
And they will. They will win all of your hearts.
So tell me a little bit about the workshops, and are there any particular ones that you're especially excited to be having at the festival?
Well, I know to start with, we are having a language and sexism class at the beginning of all 3 days, and basically what that is allowing people who come to the festival to have the knowledge about pronouns and how you can treat people respectfully based upon how they identify rather than how you want to perceive them. So that is the one workshop that actually is repeated all 3 days at the beginning of it, so that we can just have a reminder and be like, you know, there are a lot of different people who are attending the festival and also performing in the festival, and this is how they would like to be identified, and please be respectful of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually, I'm excited for, literally all of these, but
right.
Some that I wanted to shout out is that a woman that y'all featured back in March for Women's Week, Beth Bartlett, local feminist extraordinaire, and she used to be a professor here at UMD. She is giving two sessions for us, one about ecofeminism and how climate change is a feminist issue, and also she's giving a presentation about her book, Making Waves, in the History of Feminism in the Twin Ports. So those two sessions are going to be really cool and unique. We want to just showing you the breadth of topics here. It really spans all over the place. We have a mindfulness in the midst of misogyny workshop, which I'm excited about. We have one called Beyond the Binary, Embracing Spectrum Identities. So there's really, it's going to be really quality education here. Some of these workshop folks will charge $100 just for their session when they're mm-hmm. doing this. So it's some quality.
And if people are interested, so I'll just run down the schedule here. It starts on Friday. Gates open at 4. It all goes until 11 p.m. on Friday. Mm-hmm. Saturday, gates at 11, also ends at 11. And on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there's music all day. And if people want more information, what's the website?
Femenfest.com. So MNfest.com.
And that was kind of a play on Minnesota
mm-hmm.
when you came up with that. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And just to let people know, we're going to have a Live from Studio A session with one of the bands that is going to be performing. And that is the She Shells. Love that name. They're going to be playing the main stage on Friday night at 8 o'clock. And that's Thea Ennen and Lisa Kane, who you might recognize their names. They've done things separately before, but they're going to be live from Studio A on Friday here on KUMD at 2 o'clock.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.